There's been a heated debate this week in Britain over whether it's ever acceptable to separate men and women at British universities. It's thought that there have been around 40 incidents over the past year in which segregation has been requested by Muslim societies and other groups at their public meetings on campus. Last month, a body which represents many of the country's top universities issued guidance saying voluntary segregation might sometimes be appropriate if requested by an external religious speaker. Opponents argued that such guidance pandered to religious extremists, and on Friday, the Prime Minister David Cameron joined a number of other British politicians who said it's wrong for audiences to be segregated by gender and called for the guidance to be reviewed. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Nazreen Nawaz, a spokeswoman for the Islamist movement Hizb ut-Tahrir, which is banned from a number of university campuses in Britain, and Mariam Namazi of the Fitna movement for women's liberation. Dr. Nawaz, why should women be segregated?
Segregation or separation of men and women in seating is part of an integral concept within the Islamic belief. It's based on the actions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and how he, for example, used to have separate days for teaching men and women. He would not allow men and women to mix when they were leaving the mosque and so on. So it's an integral part of Islam, as many practices. What's important, I think, in this debate is that this is another reflection of extremist liberalism taking a stick to basic Islamic values and practices which are mainstream within the Muslim community.
Mariam Namazi, extremist liberal values here at work in opposing segregation at public meetings at universities.
I think that's quite absurd. I mean, the reality is that segregation of the sexes is a highly contested issue, even across the Middle East and North Africa and Asia. It's not an integral part for many Muslims. In fact, it is an integral part of the Islamist movement to which the speaker belongs. Hizb ut-Tahrir is one of those movements that supports stoning of women to death, that supports the killing of apostates, gay people, and sex segregation is in line with its views, its very, base views of women. It's interesting because obviously they have a right to believe in whatever they want. The point is, though, that while you have an absolute right to your belief, you don't have the right to manifest it in any way you want. The fact is that equality does trump religious beliefs. And in this case, it's very clear. You may think that women should not sit next to men because they are the source of fitna, because it can lead to adultery and so on and so forth. Nonetheless, women and men have a right to sit where they want freely without an Islamist imposition of what's right and wrong.
Go ahead, Mr. Mazi.
I just want to say, I find it absurd that, Hizb ut-Tahrir and Islamist groups that have influence on universities across Britain, when they're told not to discriminate against women, they cry discrimination. It doesn't work that way. The whole fight behind stopping sex segregation is a fight against discrimination against women.
Dr. Nawaz.
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's quite cheap for an ex-Muslim, as Mariam Namazi is, to be dictating to the Muslim community what their Islamic values and practices should be. Secondly, I think the fact that this is really a storm in a teacup. This is a non-issue which the Prime Minister has waded into. You have segregation on so many levels within British society. You have women-only gyms. You have hospital segregation. In fact, hospitals are fined if they don't segregate. You have separation in terms of toilets. You have single-sex schools. Eton, that Mr. Cameron went to, is a single-sex boys' school. And yet, where is the outcry about these things? This is very clear that it's simply the latest trend of an Islamophobic attack to try and force feed Muslims within the UK, other secular societies as well, the actual liberal values. Instead of convincing us with our intellect, it's actually forcing us to leave our values. Values, we're not calling here for forced segregation. This is a very emotive term. We're calling for Muslim men and women voluntarily to sit separately. This is about a seating plan in an event which is organized by Muslims within Islamic society to cater to their values. We're not calling for non-Muslims to abide by this, impose it. We're calling for Muslims to have the same right as non-Muslim students within a university environment.
Mariam Namazi.
I think this is basically throwing sand in people's faces. It's comparing apples with oranges. There are black universities in the United States. No one is saying that they are supporting racial apartheid. There is a difference between racial apartheid and, let's say, a separate women's college, for example. One of the reasons you have separate women's college is because of discrimination as well, in a sense. You can't use institutions that have been set up as a result of discrimination to then go ahead and discriminate. The reality is, whether I'm an ex-Muslim or not, the fact of the matter is that I, as a human being, have a right to stand up for equality. In fact, Hizb ut-Tahrir, which the other speaker represents, wants people like myself killed. Sex segregation is not a storm in a teacup. It is part of the war of Islamism against women. It includes sex segregation, and it's something that's highly contested. If you look at fights in the Middle East, in North Africa, in places like Iran, in Tunisia, in Algeria, one of the main battles of women's rights groups and movements are against sex apartheid, because what sex apartheid represents is not just a physical separation, but it denotes the fact that women are seen to be inferior, different, need to be kept separate from men.
Dr. Nawaz, just a final word to you, and could I just make a distinction here between the freedom that Muslims have to practice their religion in Britain and to do as they wish within a mosque, and what you seem to want to do, which is to impose your particular interpretation of Islam within a public space, namely on the campus of a British university.
Okay, this is not about imposition on anyone. This is about universities that have Islamic societies that cater, or any societies for the Jewish faith, for Christian faith, for different nationalities to cater to their beliefs. And Muslims are wanting Islamic societies to actually be able to, you know, have discussions which also abides by their beliefs. This is not about imposing any beliefs on anyone. I think this discussion of gender apartheid, it's a really emotive, I think, distasteful discussion which does a gross injustice to those countless people who died in the struggle to remove apartheid and racial apartheid in South Africa. What it does to equate voluntary separating seating between men and women to the issue of enforced racial segregation is distasteful, it's emotive, and it's deceptive.
Okay.
And it's something that should be definitely rejected.
Okay, Mariam Namazi, very, very briefly.
What's distasteful is the defense of gender apartheid. There were black South Africans who supported Bantustans, who supported the concept of separate but equal. That concept has been rejected.
This is not a discussion of women's rights.
Apartheid is similar to racial apartheid. It has no place.
I'm afraid I've got to break in there. We've run out of time. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us, Dr. Nazreen Nawaz, a spokesman for the Islamist movement Hizb ut-Tahrir, and to you too, Mariam Namazi, of the Fitna movement for women's segregation. You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Marshall with NewsHour.